Hey, everybody. Welcome to Brandon Knows Nothing. Thanks for listening. Thank you for all the positive feedback you've given me so far. A lot of people really enjoyed the last episode we had with Tiffany Vasquez from Giphy and our film talk. So thank you all for that. Make sure to tweet at me and American Collins using the hashtag Brandon Knows Nothing. I listen to all your feedback, and I really appreciate it because it's just going to help get the show up and rolling. Make sure you leave a 5-star review on Podomatic, Stitcher, iTunes, whatever you listen to, and just share it with friends. I hope you guys find this interesting. This week's episode, we're talking to Alex Carbano, who is one of the co-owners of the V-Spot, which is a vegan Latin restaurant, which is actually quite delicious. I actually was there yesterday at their cafe they have next to the New York Comedy Club on West 24th Street in Manhattan. And I got some empanadas. They got Jamaican jerk, Colombian, and the Philly, which it tastes like a Philly cheesesteak. I don't know how they do it, but it is delicious. So Alex is going to talk to you a little bit more about the restaurants that he has up and running and, you know, what it took to get them started, how they handle Yelp reviews, which is always very interesting for a restaurant or business owner. We talk about a bunch of other stuff. So I hope you guys enjoy that one. Got a few dates for you guys. 1 second. Coffee. I needed it this morning. Coming up, if you're listening to this live, on Saturday, May 14th, I have my monthly show, Comedy Outliers, which is at Lily O'Brien's, 18 Murray Street. You can purchase your advanced tickets at comedyoutliers.com. We've been selling out the past few months, so make sure you get those tickets ASAP. We got a great lineup and a really fun drop-in. That I'm really excited about. Last month we had Judah Freelander. Not saying we're going to have Judah Freelander dropping it again, but we do occasionally get some random people that just pop up, and it's always awesome. On Tuesday, May 17th, my Grits Comedy group is starting up our free stand-up comedy show, which will start on a weekly basis every Tuesday night at the V-Spot, 12 St. Mark's Place, New York. So this is Alex is going to talk to you about his spot in Brooklyn, which is the actual adult home spot for home location for V-Spot, and then they open up the East Village one, which is at St. Mark's Place. That's where we'll be having our comedy show. And then he'll also talk to you about the cafe, which I just mentioned, which is next to New York Comedy Club. So they're very much integrated into the New York comedy scene, and I really appreciate Alex and his brother giving us a space to do a Tuesday show starting May 17th at 7 p.m. the V-Spot, St. Mark's Place. So come out for that. And then on May 26th, I have my Brandon Knows Nothing live show at Rockaway Brewing Company, which is in Long Island City. It's free, 7 p.m. show. So all these shows are early enough for you to be able to come drink, laugh with me, and then still party afterwards. So just save those dates, and I'll have some more, obviously, next week with a bunch of June dates that are coming through, which I'm very excited about. There's some bits of weird news stuff happening that I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about a little bit. I'm not sure if any of this is going to be funny to you guys, but it is something that I feel like I want to talk to you about. So George Zimmerman apparently is selling the gun he used to kill Trayvon Martin. He's now putting it on sale, starting the bid at $5,000. And he wants to possibly use the proceeds to go against the Hillary Clinton campaign, which means that Donald Trump has another awesome endorsement for his campaign. Of course he does. I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump secretly buys the gun himself. A lot of my white friends try to defend Donald Trump and say, you know, he doesn't really believe what he says. He's going to pivot more to the center and stuff. I'm like, yeah, but he said it. Like, we can't elect a dude who said these things and just hope that he doesn't really mean them. And obviously, recent news, Donald Trump's trying to backtrack a little bit on his Muslim ban, saying that was merely a suggestion, not that he actually believes in it and all this stuff. But I'm like, dude, like, everyone believes. Like, he believes in this shit. He knew what it would take to rile up a certain part of the base. That's clearly what he wants to, where he wants to get his votes from. That's where he thinks he can get the most turnout from. And it's worth for him. Whether or not it's going to translate to a general election, a lot of people say there's no way he beats Hillary Clinton in general, but New York Times recently had an article about a lot of secret Trump supporters that just aren't public about it. But You know, if you call them up to do a poll, they'll say, no, I would never vote for Trump. But if you do an online anonymous poll, they say they'll vote for him if they get in that polling booth. So that's pretty terrifying that we have a lot of people that clearly has some issues that they're not willing to discuss openly and just are confused. And I'm at the point where, like, a lot of my white friends that are Republicans, I'm just kind of like, we may not be able to kick it much longer, because even if, like, you're just supporting Trump just because of party loyalty, like, I just can't. I have too many friends that are Muslims or Spanish, including my girlfriend. And also, like, I look Spanish to some people in fucking New York because some people don't know better. And the last thing we need is for people to start doing, like, fucking internment camps and rallying up people. And it's just insane. I'm reading this book called The Chain, which is about, like, the meatpacking companies like Hormel and all these things, and they have these slaughterhouses and how they just destroy the lives of people who live in these small towns where the factories are, and how they pretty much pitted the immigrants that the companies have brought in and encouraged to come to our country because they want to have the cheap labor, and the local people in these small communities that feel like their communities are being taken away from them because there's a changing in demographic. Also because they have low skills and they can't find jobs. So that's where a lot of this anger comes from. And I did have a good discussion with my friend Mike recently about the political landscape, but I pretty much put it all to education. I think education is the biggest thing for everything. Like, because I think education helps you grow as a person. It helps you become more well-rounded. And not just education, like reading books or going to school. I mean, like, education with the people you surround yourself with. So that means having a diverse group of friends, diverse community, being willing to not limit yourself from experiencing new people and new voices. I feel like a lot of friends that say ignorant stuff about Muslims or homosexuality and stuff like that, it's because they don't know anyone who lives those lives. And that's a very dangerous thing when you just completely mirror yourself to a specific viewpoint or a lifestyle. Like, it's very dangerous for in our changing demographics and our changing world, to have people with such a limited scope. And like I said, it's all education. Not saying people have to go to college to change their environments or to learn more, but when people don't have a certain type of education and they refuse to push themselves and expand their horizons, you have these people with very limited scope and you have people with very limited skills. And that's a very dangerous person because all they have is anger and resentment. And that's what we're getting from a lot of these people. And that's why we have people like George Zimmerman who, was selling the gun that he used to kill a young black kid who just happened to wear a few hoodies, and everyone called him a gangster and a piece of shit that he was robbing people. And it's like, yeah, but he was a kid. Did he deserve to die? You can arrest him, but did he deserve to die? No. Just crazy stuff. But let's try to lighten the mood a little bit, shall we? That's some dark stuff to open up with. Tyga and Kylie Jenner broke up, which is somewhat exciting for me because that means I might have a shot. I'm not a mathematician, but I'm thinking I probably have like a 17% chance of getting with her, which is decent. I mean, she did date Tyga for like 2 years, and that dude literally looks like Oscar the Grouch, but brown, and with more tattoos. So, you never know. No, I actually have skills. Tyga can't even release an album mainstream. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. I mean, I prefer Kendall, just because she's a little bit more natural than Kylie. If you look at a picture of Kylie, like, from 2 years ago to now, it's kind of like, whoa. How did your plastic surgeon not come out and take accolades for that work? Because that's an insane transformation. We all went through puberty, but that is a different kind of puberty. I know Armenians are on some other shit, but come on. Let's be real. So Kylie Jenner is single, which is cool. I was talking to my friend yesterday because the weather's getting really nice in New York, and all these women are wearing really tight black, like, spandex pants or whatever. I don't even know what they're called. But I've come to the conclusion that any woman could look really, really attractive in tight black pants. He concurred and then said, but they're so revealing and tight. It's like women get really upset when men look at them like that, but they're clearly wearing that those type of pants for a reason. It's like, but sometimes it's so revealing that you're almost like you could be like to a woman, hey, did you pee an hour ago? Because I can kind of tell. That's my friend Dan's joke, not mine. And I laughed really loud because it's true. Like some girls wear pants that are so tight that there's very little left to an imagination. But then they get mad when dudes are catcalling and stuff. I don't catcall. I just quietly creep in my brain, which is something that I really need to work on. Because a friend of mine also, I'm making it seem like I have the worst friends ever in this podcast. But again, it's Brandon Knows Nothing. I don't know how to pick good friends, apparently. Another friend of mine, we talk a lot about the middle daughter on Modern Family. Her name is Ariel Winter. I think her character's name is Alex. She has a very revealing Instagram account that makes me feel very uncomfortable. It's a grown man about to hit 30. I don't know why I'm checking out her Instagram page like a thirsty 14-year-old boy, but it's a bit much. It's another one of those things where it's like, yeah, if you don't want guys to look at you like that, why are you posting this stuff? And then it's just crazy. So I had to block the account because I was spending a little too much time on her Instagram, which just, like I said, just made me feel like a dirty old man. And that's not the life I want to live. That's not the person I want to be. Remember, guys, I want to be a better person, working on it. About to turn 30, I got to get my shit together. And I say this as I'm drinking coffee from a Star Wars cup and wearing a Harry Potter hat. So that's where I'm at in life. So this week's episode, we have Alex Carbaño, co-owner of the V-Spot, which is a dope Latin restaurant. And like I said, the food's delicious. If you're not into vegan food, just stop by and try it. And let Alex know that you heard him on the Brandon Knows Nothing podcast. He might hook you up with a dessert or something like that. I'm not promising anything, but he's usually really cool with people that come out of support and hear him on various shows or see him on comedy shows and stuff. Because he is a comedian, and he always appreciates the love that he can get. But, so I had a great conversation with Alex. We talked a lot about what it means to own a restaurant, how to deal with health inspections, all that stuff. It's actually really informative if you've ever wondered what it's like to run a restaurant, especially a franchise, not a franchise, but a restaurant that is expanding rapidly. It's very interesting to hear him talk about it and break it down. So I hope you guys enjoy. Again, please rate 5 stars, subscribe. I'm trying to boost up my numbers, trying to get the word out about this podcast. Of course, I have other podcasts, but this one's just me solo. I'm just learning more. I'm trying to educate myself. I talked earlier about education. I want to learn as much as I can with the time I have. And that's one of the biggest missions of this podcast. So I hope you guys are enjoying it. Use the hashtag Brandon Knows Nothing or just tweet at me at American Collins on all social platforms. I'm on Snapchat finally, American Collins, Instagram, American Collins, all that. You can check out future dates and more information about what I'm doing at AmericanCollins.com. But in the meantime, let's listen to my chat with Alex Carbaño.
Ladies and gents, turn up your sound system to the sound of Carlos Santana in the GMB.
Just like, that's why I bring people in here. I've already done a few of these where I'm like, I literally ask them about everything because I know nothing about specifically what they do.
I meant to ask you. So you're just sort of,
because like you're a restaurant owner, and that's just like I said, that's always been something that fascinated me. Mm-hmm. Like I have no culinary skills,
right?
But I like business management stuff. It's just always been something I'm fascinated with. Like,
yeah, the restaurant. I mean, poof, where do I begin? It's very hard in New York.
Yeah,
and it's. I don't know what I could say on here.
And you got three.
We have Colombian ways.
I mean, I can also do like a anonymous too. Like I don't have to put your name on this as well.
No, you can put it. I just like I'll be careful what I say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But because you have three now, right?
Yeah.
You got two restaurants, and then like, what's the? It's like a cafe thing.
Yeah, we're like a little cafe next door to New York Comedy Club, and basically we do like little tapas, little something like that, right?
Yeah. Little bites. Oh, just the power one out, the headphones. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, we're good. We're still good.
You can hear me?
Yeah, yeah, okay. We're still recording.
So, yeah, so we have, so basically we have Park Slope for 10 years.
Yeah.
That's me. That was me and my brother, the main people. He actually was the founder. Like, Danny was like, yo, I want to do a vegan restaurant. I was like, really? And I was, because I wasn't even vegan or vegetarian at the time. Yeah. So I was kind of like, is this a good idea?
Yeah.
You know, and then we basically borrowed money. My father does construction. I do graphic design. Then I became part of it to make to help with the recipes, and we turned it Latin. And then for 1 year, we've been in the East Village. We had some people who were interested to help work with us.
Okay.
And then now we have the comedy club we merged with, New York Comedy Club, which is a small cafe. That's just a small cafe. Like yeah. It's not really even, it's table service, but it's not like, yeah.
You guys just do like empanadas and stuff there? Like
yeah,
what?
Avocado fries, coffee, okay. You know, soy milk, almond milk. Like, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you don't have real milk. But once they try it, they're like, okay, this is good, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Almond milk's actually pretty dope. My girl's gotten like me into like non-dairy stuff because
I don't like milk anymore. Cheese and eggs is tough for me because I'm vegetarian. But
and it messes up your stomach now, right?
Yeah, dude. People make fun of you. Oh, you're vegan or vegetarian. You must fart a lot. No, when I drank milk, I was farting like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nasty. I was just one of those dudes. Like, babe, like, dude, I don't really fart anymore.
You don't fart anymore?
Not much. I did just take a huge dump over there, but I didn't.
Oh, that's great.
Just to bless the
blessed my house.
I was stuck in traffic 40 minutes.
Oh, man.
I'm like 5 minutes away.
Yeah, that's a story. Because you've come from Brooklyn?
Yeah. But like, if I jump on the BQE, I'm here in 10 minutes. It's like the quickest ride.
Yeah.
But I just hit mad traffic. There was like a rally going on in Brooklyn.
There's always a rally.
There's always a
somewhere.
Rally.
Like fucking hipsters want freedom and black people and Spanish people want freedom from them. It's crazy.
There were signs that said honk, so I honked. I hope it was for a good cause.
It's probably Trump supporter.
I know,
shit.
Fuck.
Okay, so you started in Brooklyn, like the first of the chain started in Park Slope, which is a very fucking, you know, wealthy neighborhood now.
Yeah.
In Brooklyn and stuff. So, I mean, the fact that you were able to be successful there, like, how did that even start?
Well, I mean, we have a great landlord.
Yeah.
That you need that, and that also comes with luck and everything. You know,
okay.
Some people could just get a jerk off who's gonna fuck them over on, you know, on rent and just try. Yeah. You know, we didn't get a guy like that. So
okay.
That's, you know, everything has come into its own way. So that really helped. We had no restaurant experience, so honestly, don't look at our old Yelp reviews. Yeah. Just don't pay attention to the old Yelp.
So how did you even know what to look for in a space then if you had like no...
Well, my brother had kind of just read like the basics and then we started going through it. Okay, well, we need to start looking for spaces. We're like, let's do that. That's what I mean. So we got lucky. When we found a space, it was a diner owned by a Greek guy, I believe. And he was... I think he owned... No, maybe he didn't own... He owned the building, excuse me.
Okay.
But it was... Actually, a diner that happened to be Greek. I guess the landlord and the person who ran it was Greek.
Yeah.
And we met him, and he was just a super nice guy. We're Colombian, but we have some Greek in us somewhere.
Okay.
I don't know if I don't really ever talk about it because I don't know about it. So we definitely were like, oh, we're Greek. You know, like and, you know, and he took, even though he sees my father's a little Spanish guy, he can see that we're whitish and it's on my mom's side. So I think that helped us. And, he was just good with money. So that's the first thing. If anybody's interested in getting into a restaurant, take your time looking for a venue.
Yeah.
And make sure you see the landlord is cool. And he wants you to survive. Of course, they want you to survive because they want you to pay the rent. But some people just want their rent. They don't care about the restaurant. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was one thing. And then my brother started doing legal work. I started helping with food, recipes, all the graphic design.
Okay.
And then I was the one who sort of said, this is cool. We're vegan. We had like one or two Latin options. I was like, why don't we just make this Latin and just make 80% of the menu Latin?
Yeah.
And that's what really started changing everything.
Dope, dope. And then like you guys kind of, that's how you started finding your voice and shit. Like that's how you started figuring out your style and everything. Now, how'd you convince people to try? Because I remember like when you were first telling me about it, I was like, man, vegan.
Yeah.
You're like, yo, it's dope. It's good food. It's good food. I'm like... All right, and I brought my girl there, and we had the empanadas like immediately, and we were like, "All right,
nice.
All right, now I'm in."
Nice.
But how do you get people like in? Because you know they're all like, I don't want to say hoity-toity, but they're very particular on what they eat and what they spend their money on.
I mean, I was the same way. Let me just quickly say this so people understand. Danny's been vegan for many years. I'm not even completely vegan. I still eat eggs and cheese sometimes. So from my point of view, I used to eat when we opened, I still ate meat. So I got the best of both worlds
because
I was also like being put onto the food, and that's when I got involved. I started making my own food. I'd be there like, why am I going to go across the street and get fucking fried pork?
Yeah,
let me make something here. I started messing around because I always like to cook.
Okay,
so that kind of showed at least my friends like, hey, look, I still eat meat. Try the food. Started getting people in. Then we had all the vegans like who were very particular and a little annoying, let's be honest. But they were already on board. They were like, okay, vegan. They just want to support a new vegan restaurant. And the area didn't have anything vegan. So I would say the way we really started helping change was doing free sampling in the front.
Okay.
I would always say do free sampling and do a good product. If you're like a restaurant, like we would cut the empanadas in like 6 little pieces somehow.
Yeah.
Throw a little sauce on it, put it in a little like plastic shot glass cup, uh-huh. and just hand it to people. Here, try this. And 9 out of 10 times, people are like, oh, whoa, this is kind of good. Then they look up at the sign, oh, this is vegan, okay.
Yeah.
And it works, dude.
Okay.
We do fairs, like we do festivals. If somebody's like, oh, we do movie night in Williamsburg.
Yeah.
And they have vendors. So we contact them, we work out like some sort of money thing, and then we basically have trays of empanadas, and we're just selling them at $3, $5 a pop. And that gets a lot of people in, too, because they just see the sign empanadas. They're already hungry. They want empanada. They taste it. They're like,
yeah.
You know, if you say vegan, they're like, wait, yo, chill. Like, but if you just say, here, empanada, mushroom empanada.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, okay, I'll try it.
Okay. Now, you mentioned, obviously, there's growing pains with everything. You say you and your brother were new to the restaurant business. You guys didn't really know what you were doing. You mentioned Yelp reviews. At the beginning, they were brutal. Like, how does that affect you as a restaurant owner? Because I'm actually going to be talking to the Yelp director.
Okay.
Next week on the show. So I'm just curious, from a restaurant owner perspective, like how has Yelp affected you guys?
Yelp, I mean, where do we begin? First of all, good and bad. Well, now it's good. They do like a video, which is really cool. We made a little Yelp commercial. I don't want to talk shit about Yelp.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think the way it's set up for the customer is a little unfair.
Okay.
Because right now I can look out your window, point at some restaurant, get the information, and Yelp it, and I haven't even stepped foot in there.
Yeah.
So my point is a lot of bullshit going on at Yelp. If somebody had a bad day, then you know when you're hungry, you don't get your food. Yeah. Now they're letting everything out on the restaurant. So it's a little unfair on that aspect. I always say
I admit that like it could be a lot very negative. Like I've only Yelped when I've had really bad experiences. Like I never really Yelp like, oh man, this place is dope. Like I'll just do that on social media, like I'll shout out a place. But on Yelp particularly, I'll just be like, yo, fuck these guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I would say but at the same time, when I look at the old reviews, we didn't know what we were doing.
How many years ago was this?
I mean, we've been out of business 10 years. So, Yelp wasn't even around, I think, in the beginning. But even a couple of years, like, we've just only recently started really figuring it out, and we still have a way to go. It's like comedy. You think you're getting it, and you're like, wait a second.
Nope.
Nah. But, They definitely were right sometimes, is my whole point, on a couple of things. I was like, okay, they're talking about the lesbian-looking dude. That was me. And I remember giving that woman attitude.
No. Yeah.
Like, in the beginning, I had no customer service. So we did everything, too. We waited on tables. I even sometimes now will still wait on tables, although it gets a little weird when people mistreat you a little bit, and you're like, dude, I'm one of the owners, unless there's a problem. Like, can I speak to an owner? I'm like, he's not here. But, Yeah, I mean, they were, like you said, you get a bad experience. I think you gotta like tap that.
Yeah.
Yelp is good too. Now it's much better. They give you, you get a commercial.
Yeah.
They send somebody and you pay a little money, but you get like a 30-second commercial.
Okay.
So when people go to the Yelp, it's right there. You see it, you know, we're involved. Like I'm in the Brooklyn one, Danny's in the other one. It gives a really good professional, you know, like before they even see the reviews, they're seeing something positive, right?
Got it.
But lately, our reviews are good now. You know, like of course you're gonna have that one or two bad ones, but I mean, Yelp is just a little bit unfair. But
yeah,
I mean, I don't really even look at Yelp reviews when I go to a restaurant. I don't.
Do people ever tell you like I'm gonna Yelp about you guys, like good or bad, like if they've had good or bad experiences?
No, that's the sad part. We'll be like, hey, was everything okay? They're like, yeah, sure. And we're like, no, you know, what do you need? They're like, no, it's nothing. And then they leave, and then they just yelp the shit out of you. And you're like, why don't you just say something there? Maybe we could have took care of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You'll see some weird Yelp reviews that just Really, dude? Like, it's clearly not about the restaurant.
Yeah. Do you ever respond to them? I think that's one of the funniest things when restaurant owners like respond to negative ones. They just go off.
I went under our business partner's name, and I okay, let me tell you the story real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
we're always closed on Mondays.
Okay.
Since the beginning of the restaurant.
Yeah.
We only recently decided to start opening from 5 to 10 on Mondays because we need the money.
And why were you closed on Mondays? Just because you wanted a day off.
Also kind of get, day off, but also, we'd all have, a meeting more. Like, you couldn't really do, in the restaurant business, you're running around a lot.
Yeah.
Literally, sometimes I'm driving to deliver empanadas.
Yeah.
To doing a graphic design thing, to helping a customer, to fucking getting an inventory thing. You know what I mean? So, I would say that, where were the fuck were you talking about?
You were talking about, why you take Mondays off.
Oh, Mondays, yeah. So, Mondays was our day to just kind of get shit done, where we can all sit at a table and, have a little time to relax. But, long story short, we've always been closed Monday. So one Monday, we decided to open for an event to make a little extra money. We let people rent out the space.
Yeah.
A woman walks in. She's like, wants her food. She's like, getting mad. I'm like, no, there's an event here. But how about this? Yeah. We do have some little bites that we're giving the people. How about I, we had a tray of empanadas for the people who are for the event. I was like, how about I just, I'll charge you regular price, like cheap price. Here's $5 for two empanadas just so you can have something.
Yeah.
And she was like all pissed. We're not open. This is an event. People are behind it. Like, she goes back to Yelp and went off. Like, oh, what kind of place is this? They're like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. We shouldn't even open the door for you.
Yeah.
I even tried to get her food, but maybe that was my mistake. But I told her specifically, we are never open on Mondays. And she gave this whole crazy review. And I responded, like, yo.
Just like chill.
Yeah, I was like, yo, you know, we was never open on Monday. You know, like I gotta went in a little bit, but I went under my business partner's account. So
he looked like a little bit, it seemed a little bit more anonymous and shit. But I mean, how do you make a profit in New York, man? I just feel like with the rent, liquor licensing, fucking paying your staff, especially now with the health, health care law and all this stuff. Like, it's just so much. I feel like for a business owner, it'd be like.
We don't, I do not have a car. That car is borrowed. Yeah. That's not my car that I got here. I have roommates, you don't really make a profit for a while. Now, I'm comfortable. I'll go out, drinks, go out with my friends here and there, but. It's tough. Like, the cooks are the ones making bank because they'll work. Fucking 40 hours, 60 hours, 80 hours, like nothing. And we pay them a good amount. And then you're like, when you're paying the guy, that's the crazy part. You're like, damn, I'm paying this guy mad money right now. At the end of the week, you're like, holy shit, I don't even have that in my fucking... They're building houses in Mexico, our workers, which is awesome. People sit here and make fun of the Mexicans. Like, dude, that guy on the bike is sending money back and building a house for his family. Mm-hmm. That's pretty badass. But...
of course, a lot of people don't think that. They're like,
no. They just think, hey, little Pepe, where's my french fries?
Yeah.
Why are they cold? Why are they soggy? But it's like, yo, this guy's building houses.
Yeah.
One of our workers, he worked mad hard. He was young. He was like 25. This kid, Juan, mad cool. Used to go with him play soccer. And he was always sending money back. And then he built a house in Mexico and started a t-shirt company over there. And then he went back after like 3 years.
Oh, shit.
Just busted his ass. I couldn't. Yeah. I was like, what is this guy? This guy's crazy. And then I realized what he did. He's like, I'm going to go to the United States, bust my ass, and then go back. But anyway, so we're
work ethic, man.
We're busting our ass, but we're not building houses. I'm not building a house.
So how come you're expanding?
We have people interested, so they help.
Okay.
You know, people are putting their money in now.
Okay.
So really, we're kind of like, they're like, look, we want you to run it. But
are you able to maintain like the standard, I guess, of what started the first one? Like, I've been, I watched this show called Consumed on a... fucking CNBC or something like that.
Yeah.
And they talk about the meatball shop, right? So the meatball shop has like, what, 6 locations in New York City now or whatever. And they're talking about how like they start expanding so fast that like by the time they got to the last location, they were getting reviews like that quality was kind of dropping off.
Yeah.
They getting a lot more complaints. And so they realized like even the flagship restaurant was having some issues.
Mm.
And they're like, holy shit, like maybe we tried to expand too quickly. And so I'm just wondering how you're able to balance that with like your brother and your business partner.
Well, I would say that's a good question, but it's somewhat thankfully easy. I live 2 blocks from the Brooklyn location.
Yeah.
Danny lives across the street from the St. Mark's location. Nice. Our business partner, Steve, he lives here in Astoria. Yeah. But he has a car. He's the one of the three of us, he has a car. He was actually a land lawyer. You know, like they do the fucking land stuff. I don't know. He like knows about like, he knows like this block. Like he knows all the regulate, like he knows all the shit about this.
So he's the guy who could help with building regulations and shit like that.
And he's
you guys
got
are
that
like setting up.
And he's got that experience with the city already. Like, you know, so he, you know, and then Danny lives right across the street. He's got the whole business aspect as well. So we all play a part in an interesting way. And being close to the restaurant is very important.
Yeah.
If you want to run a restaurant, try to live right there because you never know when you got to run over.
Yeah. Okay. Like for liquor licensing, right? That's like a huge detriment to a lot of restaurants, right? To get a liquor license.
Well,
because it's do you have to pay for that?
You have to pay for it. You also have to go to the community board. That's the worst part.
Why is this all like...
It's a bunch of old ladies who like run the neighborhood and they just yell at you. And they're like, we don't trust you. You're going to... You know, it's literally like that. We wanted to get... Dude, you don't even know. It's the funniest shit.
Wait, so you want to start a restaurant and you want to sell liquor there.
You got to go to the community board.
And this is after you're getting... Like you apply for your license or you have to go to community
board
first?
Yeah. You have to do everything. Like you have to go to them multiple times.
Jesus.
So you apply and then you have to meet them and then like it's pretty funny. It's so weird now that I think about it. It's just really funny and they have to sort of approve you.
And you like show the business proposal. You show what you want to do.
Like we got away with the first one because they were like, oh, they're vegan. You know what I mean? Yeah. Meanwhile, me and my brother get hammered, and crazy things have happened at the V spot. But you know, but no. But they investigate too. Like that's why I'm like I gotta be careful what I'm saying. But we've been good. We're on good standing with them.
But what are they? I just don't understand what they're digging for. Like they just need to make sure you're legitimate.
Yeah, but they also like they want to make sure we're not gonna cause trouble. Like okay, what happens when people get drunk? They start fight. They fuck up the community.
Okay.
So like let's say a bar opened across the street from you right now, that would never happen. But the community board, they'd have to go to the community board. Why they're not gonna make a lot of noise out there? Why they're not going to have fights, why they're not going to have underage drinking, you know, it's all this shit because they don't want to fuck up the neighborhood.
Okay. So it's kind of like you're pitching, like, I can control the people that will be coming to the neighborhood to visit my restaurant.
Like New York Comedy Club, the previous owners had a lot of problems with the community. So when Emilio and Scott took over, they had to fix all that, you know, in time and fix everything. So that's something where we didn't have to deal with. But just giving you an example, like the restaurant before us was a diner. We're coming in as a vegan restaurant, and this is 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, vegan. They're not going to, you know, liquor license. Here you go.
Okay. Okay. And then which area would you say is more beneficial to your business? Would you say Lower East Side, Brooklyn?
Which location?
Yeah. Like which area, I guess, would be?
Oh, like if I could choose a different area?
No. Like out of the three areas you're in right now, right? So you're St. Mark, Lower East Side. You're in Midtown East-ish with the cafe,
Gramercy.
And then you know Park Slope. Like, which one would you say like just has more foot traffic? Is more beneficial to what you guys are trying to do? And
East Village has the way more foot traffic.
Yeah,
it's just the block is on fire like almost all the time, but it's not the best clientele. First was a lot of Asians who don't particularly go to get Latin vegan food, which I completely understand. And also there's a lot of great Asian places on that block.
Yes.
And there's great food there. So we don't have a huge Asian clientele, but the good thing about East Village is people all go to Manhattan anyway.
Yep.
You know, people are like, I don't want to go to Brooklyn from Queens and vice versa. But they'll go to Manhattan, even though it's not even a huge
city. Yeah, to be fair to you guys, too, in the Brooklyn location, like, it's a short walk from Barclays.
It's right there, yeah.
It's like a six-minute walk.
It seems far, but it's not at all. Especially the express train. So you take the Q or whatever, D, two, three stops.
Yeah.
You're at Atlantic, you walk 6 minutes.
Yeah.
But the Park Slope one is the best one because it's been there the longest. We have a very diverse clientele. We have the vegans.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple, like a small Latin group that's open to it.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people that are not vegan or vegetarian. They just like the food and like one day a week.
I'm that guy.
There you go. You know, they just want to one day a week or something. Hey, I'm not going to have meat today or maybe for this meal. I know I'll go there, get full, enjoy the food. We have a lot of Caribbean. They love our Caribbean options. So we got the old school Brooklyn people. You know, yeah. we got the best of everything, especially because we've been there 10 years. Dope. We're most known. So I would say Park Slope is the best one.
Okay. Now, in regards to, like, everyone always talks about vegetarian, vegan, like, the lifestyles are crazy expensive. Like, the food is expensive. Like, how do you guys keep your food costs down? Like, because I, and also, like, these shows I watch and stuff like that. Like I said, I know nothing.
Yeah.
And they always talk about food costs, making sure your food costs are reasonable. Yeah.
I mean, it's a typical thing. You know, you compare and you contrast. You compare. You just, I think also it's more or less just keeping track of what you're paying.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping track of all your expenses is very important.
Yeah.
In the beginning, we were like lost. We didn't even know like what we did a week. Like we were just a mess.
Yeah.
We got that all under control now. That's what's very important because you can kind of balance out, you know, okay, do we need this? Do we need, you know? But that is a very difficult part. Yeah, that's, I mean, there's the health inspectors and I would say food costs.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's a whole big
What's your perspective on the health inspector shit? Because
I don't want them to get mad at me. But
no, no, but like, I've heard. I mean, you're not, that's nothing new.
They're like, parking me, like the meter maids. They're just trying to fill a quota, you know?
I think it's really fucked up what they do.
Like, yeah.
I know Rebecca Trent from Creek in the Cave. She's been very vocal on like their practices and how.
It's a big reason.
It seems like the shadiest shit in the world. Like
it's a big reason why restaurants go out of business because they just don't want to deal with it anymore. It's
They come that often?
No, but it's just when they do, if they want to be jerks, they're gonna find you on the stupidest. You don't have to be a nasty restaurant. You can just.
Yeah.
It could be like you're cooking up beans for somebody and you just put them on the table for a quick second while before you like you put them down. You set them down.
Yeah.
You start opening the fridge. They walk in. They're gonna be like, they can if they want to. Why were those beans out? You're like, oh, I'm putting them away. Why were those? They were out though when I walked in here. And you're like, really? They're like, now I'm gonna see the temperature.
You know, the temperature might like that.
The temperature might have dropped 5 degrees or something. And they're gonna. The point is, they're trying to fill a quota. So
now, how much would a fine be on that?
It all varies, but it's hundreds of dollars.
Like, are you serious?
Like fines are big
for each one.
Yeah, so that's why a lot of places go out of business because the fines that they come. Now some places are nasty and they get caught with, you know, nasty stuff. So those fines are so incredible. They're like, you know what? I'm just gonna go out of business because then they also know they're gonna get a bad name a little bit. They're gonna have the letter grade out there.
Yeah, the letter grade's tough because I worked with a venue that had an A. And then I guess the health inspector came between that week and like a week and a half later, and they were down to like a C. And I was like, holy shit. Like,
that's crazy.
Because like you can fight it, but then that's when you get the grade pending, right?
And then grade pending is typically the restaurants fighting it. And I would say, I mean, we've had, you know, we always get A's, but like we've had a couple of grade pendings. We're like, yo, we got to fix, you know, they're trying to pull some bull crap on us. And you're standing there with the woman, like, really, lady? Like, I'm right here.
Like, you have to follow them, right? You can just be like if you were the manager at the time when the health inspector comes.
You have to be there, too, with a certificate.
Yeah, but you couldn't, like, be like, all right, so you do your thing.
No,
I got to, like, take care of my customers.
Whatever. No, and you also want to make sure she or he is not bullshitting. So, and also, it's funny, though, because it's like you have, your mom checking your room mixed with, like, a drug raid because... You got to follow her around. She's got the flashlight. Why didn't she clean that? And you're like, that's not, it's a little scratch.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to be jerks, you know? And then like, it's worth it for us to throw out lettuce that first they might say is 5 degrees under when nothing's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You eat in another country where the lettuce is out and the flies and you still eat it. It's delicious and it's fine. They clean it and you're good. But they just want to give you that fine. So you're like, you know what? Like a drug raid, you're like pushing lettuce down the toilet. Like, you know what? Better just throw this out. Like, it's crazy. Like,
what in your experience, because you're in the restaurant business now, like of peers that you might have worked with in the business or people you know that had their own restaurants, what would you say is the biggest thing that like ended up causing the restaurants to fail? And what are you taking from
that? Oh, definitely, well, health inspections, you know, not getting A's or at least a B.
Yeah.
Anything C or below obviously is terrible. And then that's your reputation. But so speaking of reputation, I would say service, you know, like if the waiters have a little attitude or if they're taking too long with the food, people are just not going to come back.
Yeah.
You just want people to come back, you know. You want to get that call back. You don't want to be out there.
What would you say is your check average? Like, not check average amount, but in regards to speed and how fast people would get their entrees and stuff.
Like if it's $20 tab?
Yeah, like let's say like I order an appetizer and
We're pretty good. Okay. We're pretty good. Even when we're when we're busy, we're a little longer, but we'll always come around and give you like free chips to make you.
Okay.
If the restaurant is full and there's people like standing room where they're waiting to be seated,
yeah,
because we don't really have a waiting area, or a couple people standing in front of the restaurant, yeah, that's like, okay, they're busy. Got to keep in mind we're getting deliveries also and people ordering takeout. You will still get your food fairly quick compared to any other restaurant is going to take you. You know, sometimes you're sitting there for 45 minutes, nothing. You know, instead of 10 minutes, it might take us 20.
Yeah.
But we'll bring you a little bowl of chips just to, you know, we'll play some good Latin music, keep you moving.
I didn't know you guys did takeout.
Oh, yeah, we do everything.
Does that actually work for you, or is it just something that you know you, like people want, so you had to do it?
No, we get a lot of takeout.
Okay.
And we get a lot of delivery.
And do you use like, do you Seamless or Delivery.com?
Yeah, Seamless, and all of them. We use everything. All of them. Grubhub, they've all merged. We do like Ninefold. You can order off the website. That's another thing you got to do. Make sure they have access to order from everywhere.
Okay.
Because you can put keywords, vegan, vegetarian, Latin, and these people just click that, shows them in the neighborhood who's got that, and boom, you know, your name pops up.
Nice. So that's a good sales driver for you guys?
Yeah. Definitely. Okay. The internet and phoning it in is very good.
Interesting. Okay. Because I always feel like delivery is just like, it's just so much up to, not chance, but like you have to have such a well-oiled machine in order to successfully pull off delivery while also maintaining your restaurant.
Once in a while, we have an issue where he's just got so many deliveries.
Yeah.
And the person's got to wait a while. You know, we get the call, what the hell happened? And then, God forbid, they get there and we forgot the smoothie. We're like, shit.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, I didn't get my smoothie. And you're like, damn. So what we do is in that situation.
You have a very common theme with these voices of people complaining about
it. You know what they look like. If they don't get their smoothie, we'll at least be like, okay, well, when he goes back on delivery, we'll bring you another one, or we'll comp you on the next one. Just, you got to make the customer happy in the end. But overall, our delivery services, I think, is very good considering he's on a bike.
Yeah.
I don't even think he speaks English. I don't know how he gets around.
Yeah.
But we'll just tell him where he's going. He's like, okay, boom, and he's out. 16 bags on his shoulders. You're like, all right.
Shit, man. What would you say has been the most rewarding thing about this whole experience thus far?
I mean, it feels good. People are like, well, you know, the girls are like, oh, my God, you have a restaurant? They have a liquor house, you know?
Yeah, it's been good. When you first started, though, right?
I'm kidding. I was actually shy about a lot in the beginning. But, that feels good just in general. People are like, oh, you got a restaurant? Like, you know, and I always tell them, like, we have a team. It's not like some people will be like, oh, Alex, yo, you're a restaurant. I'm like, no, it's my brother Danny, it's my brother Steve. You know, like, I always say that. But it feels good that we have this team. And that I also very rewarding is that we're giving people food that doesn't have any dairy or meat. And 9 out of 10 times, maybe sometimes 8, they're like, whoa, that was way better than I expected.
Yeah.
So we're putting them onto it in a cool way, because when I was put onto vegetarian food, it wasn't in the best way.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we're doing it the right way, because we have that mentality of people who ate meat a lot, Spanish family, chicharrón, fucking steak. So we're giving it like our little twist, like, hey, we're still kind of slobs inside, but let's not eat meat.
Have you tried like reaching out to like organizations and stuff that promote healthy lifestyles, so you could be like on their websites or recommendations for restaurants and stuff like that?
We're at a point now where a lot of little companies reach out to us, but even like we've been on PETA and all that, like those big vegetarian things. And some people don't like PETA, but whatever. That's a huge. People see that, and then you get they feel like, okay, these guys are legit, you know?
Yeah.
We got on Taxi TV. That was cool. That's even better than the health ones, because the health people have such a small little community.
Yeah.
I think deep down, everybody, they don't want to be vegan or vegetarian, but they want to eat healthier. They definitely want to incorporate vegetables more. They don't know how.
Yep.
They want to cut down on the meat. So it kind of helps us in this time period, too. It's good timing.
Yeah, man. I mean, you guys did a unique spin on something that, like I said, I usually balk at.
Yeah.
But my girlfriend, she wanted to go to your place in Lower East Side for her birthday.
Nice.
So we went and she brought some friends that like had never eaten vegan food before, and they were really, really hesitant. They were like,
I can imagine.
They're like, all right, we're going to try this. It's Latin, so that also helps, because, you know, they're all Puerto Rican and whatever. And they were fucking like, yeah, this is dope.
Nice.
This is dope.
Yeah, we get that a lot. I mean, think about it. We're sampling outside, which is very similar to barking.
Mm-hmm.
And you're barking.
Yeah.
You're barking people. But when, you know, we had to figure out a strategy. We used to go vegan empanadas. They're like, vegan, you know, but now we just go empanadas.
Yeah.
And then once they, and we just literally stick our hand out as they're walking by, they already start reaching for it. It's like, well, I already know the exact process. They're starting to eat it. What's in this, chicken or beef? Sometimes we'll get that a lot.
Yeah.
And we're like, actually, neither. Once they're chewing, we're like, oh, it's vegetarian, you know, vegan, whatever. But we'll tell them, okay, you know, it's a mushroom mix, cheese, you know, thing. And they're right away like, oh, like, this is way better than I expected. And I think it is, that's very rewarding. And it happens a lot, like you said, with the girl, like your girlfriend's friends. Yeah. It's cool.
Okay. Now, as a business owner, like, have you had to deal with any irate former employees that were just like we had to be like a server that was like a dick all the time,
or
a bartender that was just, you find out they're like a raging alcoholic just stealing drinks. I've worked at restaurants where like the owners or the managers were like, fuck, I gotta go fire Denny because they keep drinking bottles and shit.
We've been pretty good. We're very good to the staff, first of all. And we're a little nutty ourselves.
Yeah.
So I'm sure some of the employees are like, yo, the boss, what are they doing? Like, why? You know, we've done comedy shows at the restaurant and I get hammered out. I mean, I drink, you know, I don't eat meat, but I balance it out with drinking. So more often than I should. But we're a little wild child on our own. But I think that kind of keeps everybody, like, we're not like, why is it? We're definitely going to ask you, why is this not done? Can you get this done? But we're going to ask. We chill with the staff, like, yo, let's go out, let's go, let's go to do karaoke across the street, let's go out, have a drink. So we've been lucky. We've had a couple people who are a little crazy, but we just let them go, and then thankfully hasn't really been ever a problem.
Yeah. And you guys find a good balance within yourselves as the owners? Like, you guys feel like you're more than not on the same page?
Yeah, I mean, it's me and my brother, and we used to share a room growing up.
Got it.
So we, you know, we had, you know, bunk, but you know, we had like an apartment where we had to share a room. So like we already got through our problems years ago. Of course, we have our problems sometimes. Sometimes Danny might have an issue with Steve. That's our business partner. Danny went to college with Steve, and that was his fraternity brother.
Got it.
They went to Albany, so they already have an understanding from back then. Me and my brother have it, and then we have these other people who are now involved and help us. But we're the main three people who are really running V Spot.
Okay.
And yeah, we get along.
But how do you balance those other individuals now that are now involved in the business, like that might have different requests than what you're used to, and you're like,
we tell them,
oh, that's kind of weird, but we might do it.
Yeah, well, you know, we kind of got it down packed, but of course we're open to like people. Like, we have Shoshana who helps out now. She's she started just making desserts, but now she gets involved.
Oh, shit. Okay, with, cool.
You know, and the desserts are very good. She makes really, I mean, she makes, I've had vegan cookies and I'm like, literally want to die. If I get a fudge cupcake, I go to a chocolate room, which is not vegan.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. But she makes really good cupcakes. And she just started with us not too long ago.
Okay.
So if you try the desserts now, you'll see that they're really, really good. But she came in and now she's sort of helping with some of management areas and, running things and she kind of sees that, you know, they're more respectable of us, and we just listen. We're like, okay, well, that's not a bad idea. We're pretty good. We're pretty fair, like, we're not like dicks at all.
What's so are you good with the three now, or are you looking to expand to other boroughs? What's the next step?
The only, I would say, like you said, we had just expanded East Village last year.
Yeah, that's what I was like, when I remember my girlfriend Tatiana, like, she loves you guys. She follows you guys on Facebook, all this shit. She like, she probably knows more about it than like you do sometimes, because she's always like, oh, V-Spot's doing that. She's like, they're opening up with New York Comedy Club. I'm like, they just opened up Lower East Side like a few months ago, because I remember talking to you. I'm like, hey, how's it going? You're like, man, it's tough. You know, it's a new location. We're trying, it's a new area. You know, we're trying to get up and running. And then I saw that. I was like, holy shit. Like,
yeah, that that's just kind of came, you know.
Like, less than 2 years, that's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it all happened in like a year, actually, between the two. But it's tough. I mean, it is tough, you know. Like, I have to go straight from here back to the restaurant.
Which one?
I'm going to go back to, I have to go to, this is a funny thing. So now I got to drive into the East Village, get a specific type of empanada that we're short of in Park Slope. So I'm going to go there, get a couple trays, bring them over, Park Slope, the cooks will have that. And then I'll help whoever's working right now. I'll help them. I'll just be around management. I'll probably be on my laptop doing like graphic design stuff while helping with any tables or any issues going on.
Now, listening to you talk about that, and then I realized that you guys have three locations. you live in Brooklyn near that location, but you still got to bounce around. How's this affected your comedy? Your ability to do comedy. I imagine like you're just fucking tired by the time you have to try to...
I'm definitely tired, but I'm also very hyperactive ever since I was a kid, and I don't like to sit around.
Mm.
So it actually is good in a way because it keeps me moving. I would say with comedy, I've always done comedy part-time, so there's nothing has really changed.
Okay.
I'm getting on some little more shows now and some bigger... I've gotten on a couple bigger shows where I was like, whoa, what the fuck am I doing on this lineup?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, I've... Overall, I mean, you know, you have some comics who've seen you bomb only.
Yeah.
But overall, I don't. And so I do my shows anywhere from once to three or four times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that's about it. I don't really do mics. I try to do...
Well, I mean, you have your own spot, too. Like, you have... That's the thing. You know, you have your show in Brooklyn. That's still monthly, right?
We have our monthly. That just passed. Yeah. That's perfect for me because that's my mic right there.
Yeah. And that's a fun show, man. I was...
Thank you.
I did your show twice. The first time I did it, I ate a huge dick.
Did you?
It was like, it was a good 2 years ago. Like, I ate a huge dick. Cause I remember, like, cause on the next show, on that show, I was with Barnett. And Barnett, like, Kevin Barnett came in after I bombed. And he was like, yo, man, I heard they got really good empanadas here. I just remember everyone kept talking about the empanadas before I went there. And I bombed really bad. And then the next time, I just like had like one of the best sets. Like I remember having so much fun.
I'll be honest. I don't remember the older sets because that's very nerve wracking to me. It used to be the worst show for me to ever do. Now I'm learning to deal with it.
Yeah.
But to run it, to produce it, to book it, to know that these people are your audience members. If you say one wrong thing, they might not come back for the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was always tough. So I'll be honest. Back then, I was like, sometimes I did well hosting. Sometimes I was just nervous, and so I don't even remember that. But I remember the last one you did. The more recent one,
fun,
and you did
man.
Great. Yeah, you did
it was
great.
A lot of fun.
It's a good, honest crowd. If it's funny, they're going to laugh. They don't need you to scream and yell. They don't need you to curse.
Yep.
But at the same time, they want a good show. I just think it's a good, honest crowd. And even to me, it's great because if I say a joke that's not funny, they don't laugh. They don't go, oh, it's Alex. We're going to laugh.
Yeah.
So it's perfect for me because I record it. So I'm getting very quickly like a good idea of like what I should and shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not the perfect one, but... But yeah, I would say the comedies, the monthly show helps me. Like I said, it's my open mic. And I would say I like doing comedies a couple times a week because I like to drink. I like to get silly. I can't be doing comedy 2-3 times a night. I'm going to go crazy. I don't know what's going to happen. You know,
So here's another thing about being a restaurant owner that has alcohol. And, you know, you keep mentioning you like to drink. I love to drink as well. One of my biggest fears about opening a bar would be like I would just never leave. I would always fucking be drinking.
You'll definitely drink a
little
more.
Have you found yourself like where even your brother or like business partner like yo the drink expenses this month were kind of crazy.
Oh, expense no, but there's definitely was like 2-3 years ago when he was like, dude, you gotta chill out because I was getting like I still get pretty hammered, but it's not as often. I would just get...
You're like getting hammered during your shift and shit?
Like the moment. Let's say we worked, you know, we get to the restaurant 11 or 12. We're there, you know, till the evening, night. Maybe I go do a show. But the thing is, what I always do is, before every show, you might see me with a green juice, but I've stopped in the restaurant, I juice some green juice, and then I pour like gin in it or something.
Okay.
So I take a lot of liquor from the restaurant and I bring it out with me. I'll grab a bottle of wine, put it in my pocket, and I run out. Because I don't want to pay for it outside. Sneak it into wherever I go, but I'll take liquor from it like that says.
Yeah.
But I end up taking a bottle. Now I'm fucking getting tipsy, drunk.
Yeah.
Then I'm drinking when I'm already out. Sometimes when I'm out, I meet people, friends. I'm like, yo, let's go chill back at the restaurant. We go back, we sit at the bar, we get more hammered because like, why spend money?
Yeah.
But no, expenses wise, not really, because liquor is actually fairly cheap when you buy it in bulk.
Yeah. I've discovered that.
And I'm not drinking like to the point where I'm drinking during the shift. I never get drunk during the shift, but. The moment I'm done, I'm down to get pretty tipsy.
Okay.
And
but
I've stopped in hammered many times.
Yeah.
Like while everybody's working. And I'm like you gotta go home. Okay. I'm
You're like, boss, like, come on, man. I know I'm just a waiter, but you gotta get out of here. But so you guys are good with the three right now.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that. Definitely, but if we were to expand, my ideal situation would be like in Miami, like a small little...
You want to go to another state?
Yeah, because I think in Miami type of place, even Fort Lauderdale type thing, right off the beach, a small place, sort of like the cafe, but maybe even smaller, and just doing like empanadas, smoothies, fresh juice. little arepa, like more like quick bites that you can kind of wrap in a little wax paper and go up on the beach with and not feel so bad that you're not having something. Because we do have some heavy options. There's still empanadas are fried, but we can make them baked.
Yeah.
So we can do like baked empanadas. I think that would really work well. I envision it very like cool little tropical place, have a little speaker outside playing the salsa music.
You wouldn't want to do a food truck?
You know, we tried a food truck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. And that was fucking difficult, dude.
Where did you?
Williamsburg. In a great area, too. North 12th and Bedford.
How much did the food the truck cost you initially?
Well, we rented it. We rented from these Arab guys. They were mad cool. And he used to come with us. He'd have to be with us, though. So I forgot his name. It was like Nassim or something. He was like straight from like Yemen. Mad cool, though.
Yeah.
He would drive it and he wouldn't work. He would just sort of sit there. Well, sometimes I think, didn't we have him work? And we basically paid them.
And this is after you had your first restaurant, or
yeah, this was years ago. This was like, I had the idea. I told Danny, look, I think a food truck would work, but again, a food truck is a whole nother thing. Like that, you have no experience on. It's not easy, and it needs time to build. Yeah. We weren't even built up enough with the restaurant at the time, so it was just too hard. We would park North 12th and Bedford. We kind of banked on, okay.
Oh, shit, that's a really good, that's a good spot, too.
Top and block. But there was a big food truck in front of us that's been there for years that everybody was going to, and one around the corner. So we're the new guys. We don't have, like, a cool-looking truck.
Yeah.
I made all the fucking graphics. We taped them on the side. Like, it looked like ghetto-ass style. It really did. We didn't have the best. We were on North 12th and Bedford, but we were, well, maybe it was North 11th. I think we were one.
Either way, if you're off of Bedford, that's just a dope. Yeah. That's like so much foot traffic, it's insane.
But it just, people weren't really stopping, and we didn't realize how much money you would lose to get that clientele. We'd get a couple of drunk hipsters, but we thought they were just going to come flocking, not realizing. They don't even know. People don't even know you're there. They're not even looking. They already went to their food truck. And then they kind of looked to the side like, oh, there's another one there. But our truck looked gross, and there was like 15 of us in there. We were drinking too. Like,
but after how long were you like of having it? Were you just like, this is not profitable at all? Like, this is just
a month or two. Like, it was quick.
It was quick.
I was like, this is crazy. We're losing way too much money.
Got it.
But I think now, like what you're saying, it's not a bad idea. But again, it's, you gotta find a location where you're allowed to park the truck.
See, I think you guys could do really well in like a midtown, like. I said Midtown East earlier for your location, which is actually closer to like Gramercy, Chelsea area. Like if you went up towards like the 50, high 50s around there in 3rd Ave or Lexington, during lunchtime, you guys would kill.
The thing is, you
can't. Because you're the only different, you would be such a different thing than what's available over there.
I think
all junk food and shit.
I think you're absolutely right. But to even get to that point, you can't just go and like get a food truck and park there.
You gotta get the permit.
There's so much bullshit, and then everybody's fighting for you not to go to get there. Like the other food, if there's other food trucks, they have like seniority. It's all craziness. But yeah, I mean, I think that would be, if not to branch out to like a California or Florida thing, to definitely be a food truck.
Okay.
I really want to do this summer. We keep talking about it. We'll see. You know what piraguas are? You know the shaved ice
People eat.
I want to do one. Actually, I'm going to do one.
Okay.
Let me just put that out there. And I really am. You'll see. We're going to have it like in the front, maybe on those little bicycle carts.
Yeah, yeah.
But do like natural juices. So we're going to have like a little V-spot, you know, piragua to go. So it'll be like an apple, lemon, ginger, kale with real juice. Pour that on top of the shaved ice. You know what I mean?
Got it.
We're definitely doing it at the restaurant. I don't know if we're going to do the bike thing. So that's why there was a little hesitancy on that. Because I think it'd be cool to be on they kind of like ride it around.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that'll work, but for sure it's going to be in the front of the restaurant.
That's crazy, man. That's a dope idea.
Yeah, putting a little twist on.
You're just always thinking about ways to drive business. That's what you're doing. Like, that's what your mind's always at. You're not thinking about comedy or anything like that, I imagine.
Yeah, and in a little different way. Like a little, like, throw the little urban Latin thing in there too, you know?
Nice.
Because we're from Brooklyn, born and raised, so we want to. You know, that's who we are, and then throw the little Latin twist on it. And, you know, growing up, we saw those little carts, and I'd get the little, and it was delicious. You know, it's basically like the 25-cent drink, but poured all over ice and shaved ice. So we're like, okay, we grew up on that. People like that during the summer. Let's make it the veggie, modern, hipster, whatever way, you know.
Oh, man, I love what you guys are doing, man. Can you,
thank you.
Can you tell the locations of all the places now?
Okay, if you're in Park Slope area, 6 minutes from the Barclays Center, Mad Express trains there. The B63 actually stops right in front of our place.
But it's a nice walk, though. It's like the weather's pretty good now.
It's right now is a it's awesome walk, and there's so much stuff you can see on the way. But don't stop at any other restaurants. But that is at 156 Fifth Avenue between Douglas and DeGraw. 156 Fifth Avenue, right across the street from Bogota, which is a very popular restaurant. Which is sad because we need to you know, I use them for people to know where we're at.
Yeah,
I'm always like, they're like, "Where's Douglas?" I'm like, "You know Bogota, the restaurant?" Yeah, we're right across the street. And they're like, "Oh, okay," and they realize it's right there. So that's the Park Slope. East Village is at 12 St. Mark's between 2nd and 3rd as well, to utilize another business, Yoga to the People. We are right next door. And we're all in that historic landmark German building.
Yeah.
Awesome building. The St. Mark's location is very big. We have a back room where we do events, comedy shows if you ever want to run one.
Yeah.
We have now removed the vents on top of the ceilings. There used to be a Korean barbecue there. We're slowly transforming the back room to be like, for tables, but also for performance space.
Because
again, why not?
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Yeah, why not incorporate music, poetry, and for myself, I can practice comedy.
Yeah.
Without having to be fucking sending my avails to somebody and they ignore me. You know what I mean? Like to some comedy club.
Yeah.
And they don't answer you back. So why not?
That's why everyone's creating their own shit, man.
Yeah, you have to.
We're at a place now where I think that's the one thing about comedy clubs. It's like, you know, they're not going anywhere, which we don't want them to, but. Yeah. I think especially like places like New York, California, Philadelphia and everything, they're like, oh, these alt shows are almost better than a club show.
Yeah, you get free shows.
Yeah.
There's some amazing, your guy's show is dope.
Thank you, man. Yeah.
I like Gandhi. That's a great
show. Yeah, there's
some
dope
like
alternate
you guys,
that are like.
I think you guys might have the best one, I would say, because.
Well, we do a Saturday and we do like a small cover, but like we've had people like, especially recently, the past few months, they're like, this is.
But I was saying,
this
not
is crazy. Like I was like, you're crazy for saying that, but they're like, this is a better show than when I went to the Cellar like a month ago.
I believe it. It's also about the energy in the room. Like not are the comics funny and you guys are hosting great, but the energy, there's something about the crowd goes in there very positive for comedy. It's diverse.
Yeah, I think when you build up your own comfortable environment, you get people feeling comfortable and they're having fun, like at V-Spot or the Gandhi guys.
V-Spot could be a little dreadful sometimes,
but it's still fun, man. It's like you know,
it's
any place where there's a crowd and people are there to like laugh, they want to laugh.
Yeah,
and maybe just like what you're trying to bring to make them laugh just isn't hitting. That's fine.
Yeah,
but as long as they're there and they're actually paying attention, they're not on their phone trying to heckle you and shit.
Yeah, I mean, these shows are better. Like you said, you pay a small cover, but still, like you go to a comedy club and spend $20. Heineken's $11. You need to get two of those. You're like, what? I just spent $50. And yeah, it was a good show. But some comedy clubs, you know, are terrible.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mention any names, but I've done a couple of comedy clubs where they're put in check spot guy after check spot guy.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, and they're in front of tourists. These are tougher crowd in the sense of you got to go really general where you're funny.
Yeah. And you got to be quick to the funny. You can't do like some long ass story that has like a payoff a few minutes later because the people get an interpretation. They could lose the setup, and then by the time you get to punch on, they're like, wait, what are you talking about?
Yeah, and it's just, so I mean, there's so many good independent shows right now.
Yeah.
But I think you guys have a fucking really, really good one.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks. And then the cafe, where's the cafe at?
Okay, the cafe is, speaking of comedy, right next door to the amazing New York Comedy Club, which I want to shout out. Emilio and Scott are doing great things to bring that place
from where
back
it was
alive.
A few years ago, holy shit! Yeah,
they're doing great, and it's only getting bigger and better. And you know, it's a tough business for them too. Real quick to shout them out, like you know, getting hit up by comics, dealing with all the bullshit from the old club. You know, trying to bring the place back together, but they, you know, you don't want to make New York Comedy Club like Gotham, all fancy.
Yeah,
it's got that New York feel to it. You want to keep that, but so yeah, we merged with them, and now we are next door, literally next door.
Yeah.
We also serve our food to the audience in New York Comedy Club.
Okay.
So that's a big thing. That's the only comedy club where you can get a full vegan menu.
Okay. That's dope.
And then, so yeah, when the customers sit down, they get a menu, and it's a menu that I made, like a short menu that's for the audience. And then...
And then their system just goes right to you guys if they order food?
It's separate, but we figure it out in the end, you know.
Okay.
We have track of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get a ticket and... And then, so that's at 241 East 24th between 2nd and 3rd. literally right next door to New York Comedy Club. We're a small cafe. We have vegan coffee, vegan desserts,
dope,
empanadas, avocado fries, a lot of little bites.
Okay. And now if people want to follow you, find out about your comedy, or just to, you know, see where like you might be at the restaurants, they can come by and be like, yo, I heard you on Brandon's podcast, all that shit.
Just Alex Carabano. Alex, Carabano. I'm on Instagram. I don't mess with Twitter, but I have it.
Okay.
It's like...
You mostly do the Instagram thing. Like that's what I like about... The comics that don't do everything, they like pick one and they just do really well at it. And you're just on Instagram always posting videos and stuff like that.
Yeah, I enjoy, I like making little, I downloaded iMovie. Ever since I was a kid, I always like editing video. Yeah, yeah. So I downloaded iMovie, which I think everybody should download. And it's so fun to make a little quick video and it's so fucking easy.
Yeah.
And people are like, yo, I have a show tonight and I made a little promo because I noticed the girl was not doing, she just did a flyer. And I was it took me 30 minutes, and I made a promo for the show. Like, I literally was able to narrate it, put pictures, click video clip, you know, of our faces. Yeah. Like, but yeah, check me out, Alex Carabano. Oh, on YouTube too. I started with a little following on YouTube before I did stand up. I did these videos, so I started getting a couple thousand subscribers. But then I didn't do a skit. I just fell off. But check me out because I plan on doing more now.
That's a
this year. I hope.
That's what's up, man. Thanks so much for coming through, man.
Thank you, bro. Shit.
Ladies and gents, turn up your sound system to the sound of Carlos Santana in the GMB. Ghetto Blues from the refugee camp.
Maria, Maria, she remind me of a West Side Story. Growing up in Spanish Harlem.